Next up, our regular Vatican watcher Joan Lewis is here once again with a look back at highlights of the Pope's activities over the past week, beginning with the canonization of five new saints in St. Peter's Basilica last Sunday.
It was one amazing event. I know that Monday when I went to do some reports on it, write my blog, I needed some figures, and I got various figures from the Vatican, which were 80,000 people. And I've been in St. Peter's Square on the Epiphany on many, many big occasions, and 80,000, who knows, even a few thousand more. It was a phenomenal crowd, and of course it was a Hawaiian-like day. One of my favorites, as you know, is Blessed Damien, just having been to this very exotic, lonely, middle of the Pacific Island, where people were forced to be exiled because of this disease they had called leprosy, which of course has now been cured. Most of the people there now are in their 70s, 80s, and I think there's one person who's like 90 or 91.
And one or two of them were over here in Rome 11. For the canonization.
11
exactly.
Were here. And I had dinner with two of them, and I put their picture on my blog last night, as a matter of fact, and could not find the piece of paper on which I wrote down their names. I feel badly about that. But anyway, there's 25 remaining people who, again, of course, they came here because they're cured. There is no contagion involved. And actually, over the years, interestingly enough, doctors did learn that it wasn't so much contagious as it was you had to have a genetic predisposition. So when St. Damien got, after 17, how many years, 14, of being with these people and helping, he also acquired leprosy, Hansen's disease, but it was because he actually, his family seemed to have had a genetic predisposition. So it's a wonderful story, as, of course, are the wonderful stories of the other five people. I personally have not gone into depth. I have not visited their sites, but, I mean, you have a Dominican in here. You have, obviously, the foundress, Jeanne Jougan, St. Marie de la Croix of the Cross, and the foundress of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
And there was a Polish archbishop as well, wasn't there?
Right, a Polish archbishop, Zygmunt Feliński.
And another Spaniard.
Two Spaniards, and you had Damien, and then, of course, you had Sister, as I say, Jeanne Jougan. And they're all wonderful stories. There are stories of great love for the church. There are stories of great love for mankind. They are stories of enormous human sacrifice. If you look at Jeanne Jougan, her love for the poor and the senior citizens. And I have to tell you, without giving you names, and I'd love to do it because you'd be very impressed, very high-ranking prelates in the church whose mothers have, usually they were widowed, the father would die first, and the mothers have been taken care of, some currently as we speak, by the Little Sisters of the Poor. So there's many priests out there, bishops, actually cardinals.
And in England, I know particularly, they also take care not just of the elderly, but of retired priests in a particular
yes.
way who have very little often help or support
exactly.
once they leave their parishes.
Right. I did learn that Cardinal Bernardin, the former, of course, the late, if you will, Archbishop of Chicago, his mother was taken care of by them, and he had a very special affection. And, of course, what you do then when you have that kind of relationship, you make sure that other people know about that and support them as well. So it's kind of a mutual thing. But the ceremony was very beautiful, to the dismay of tens and tens of thousands. Of course, it was moved unannounced. It was moved inside, and it was
into the basilica.
Into the basilica, the mass and the canonization ceremony, the beautiful tapestries, of course, of the five new saints were all hanging from the basilica balconies. But they had thought it was going to be bad weather, and of course, here it was typical, like Hawaiian weather, and a magnificent day. And the wisdom of the Holy See, of course, to put four huge screens up, they're permanent in the square, so people could see that. But, you know, you could feel these people all over town all week long, too. I mean, the tens of thousands, like Damien, he was born in Belgium. So, of course, there was like a 1,500-person contingent from Belgium. The official diocese of Honolulu was 550 people.
Now, interestingly, these canonizations were taking place, of course, during the Synod for
sure.
Africa.
And, of course, the Synod had begun only the week before. The attendance at the Mass, at the canonization on Sunday, was one of the little interruptions in the Synod. routine, of course. And as, by the way, we might want to mention, Saturday night there was a vigil in the Paul VI Hall. And there was a rosary that Pope Benedict led. The Synod Fathers were there, as were university students. And then there was a satellite link-up with eight universities in Africa, with the students of eight universities in Africa, so they could all pray the rosary together. And it was the evening, I believe, was called Prayers for Africa and in Africa, something like that. So that was a lovely evening, and again, a little break for the Synod Fathers. But you know, the Synod has really been amazing. I've been on top of had to be on top of so many other stories, and with guests in town and a crew even from EWDN doing a lot of filming. So I haven't paid as much attention to the Synod. In recent days, I've been reading some of the speeches and documents. And I have to tell you, what really amazes me is when you hear about the problems coming out of Africa, the poverty and disease and emigration, Africans leaving to try and work elsewhere, and the denigration of women and so forth. And I'm not just talking church here. I'm talking about denigration of women, prostitution, and so forth. But so many of the problems coming out of Africa just seem like the problems of the rest of the world, too. They aren't unique to Africa, but because you can talk about poverty and so forth on so many other continents.
The Synod Fathers are just about halfway through their work now,
right,
aren't they? They're looking towards the end, towards the production of their final propositions.
As a matter of fact, what just came out, and I have not had the time because it's very long, but it's a very interesting document, the post-discussion report has come out. And that was presented in the Holy See Press Office. And so we're actually moving from all of the Synod Fathers getting up and each giving their 5 or whatever minute talk about what's dear to their hearts, what they see as a problem in their country, or what they see as a problem that the Synod should look at, the church-related issues. So now and then we're moving into language groups. But this document touches on every topic. And certainly,
presented by Cardinal Turkson from Ghana.
Yes, from, exactly. But I have to say, one of the things that struck me most in what I've been reading this week, because there are, of course, invited guests. These are not just all bishops from these 53 African countries. They're bishops from European countries. There are heads of offices in the Roman Curia. And there's other invited guests who are specialties, who specialize in different things. And what's interesting is the head of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, that's called FAO, F-A-O, and we in Rome know it well because it's based here. He spoke to the bishops, I guess that was Monday, and he talked about the theories of Thomas Malthus, the so-called Malthusian doctrine, which equates increased population with food shortages. And he said those are all incorrect. And he was answering a question from the floor, and he said food security is possible in Africa now without the reduction of population, he said, if there is the political will to achieve it. And so he said the solution to what he called Africa's yoke of hunger and malnutrition is the reform of her political system. But he said transparency and the application of the law by independent justice and peace will create an environment where food production and distribution can be increased. So he got out there and he's saying you don't need fewer people. You don't need smaller African families. The food is there. The will and the way to distribute it is what now has to come into play.
And this is particularly significant, his words to the Synod, because it was announced just around that time as well that Pope Benedict will go make a return visit, if you like, go over to the FAO, the Food and Agriculture
right.
Organization headquarters, in just a few weeks' time.
Right. He's going to go in November. I think that was announced the following day, as a matter of fact. I think that was announced on Tuesday. As it was also announced, this is not Synod news, but still, it was also announced the Pope will visit in January 2010. He will visit Rome's synagogue. So he's going to visit on one occasion, but two special events that the synagogue is celebrating. Of course, he'll be the second pope to ever do that. John Paul did it. If memory serves me, it was 1986. Exactly.
We'll be keeping a close eye on that, no doubt, over the next couple of weeks. For the moment, Joan, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
God bless.
Thanks there to our regular guest, Joan Lewis, who will be back once again at this same time next week.